Freak.
Freak.
Accident.
Accident.
One last stop to adventure in the amazing year 400 billion.
You know, we could, like, go to jail for this.
Am I going mad? Or did the word fake escape your lips?
I might be dangerous.
Consignment sale, and I help her out with it. You know, it's a good way to make a little extra money, and I don't mind doing that because money is always good. And so she does this consignment sale, and I was getting out of the shed a bike yesterday, and actually Tuesday, and I stepped onto a slick portion of the driveway, and my ankle went one direction and my body went the other, so I am sitting here in the studio with a ace bandage around my foot, which is about twice the size it normally is. So we're a little injured here at the freak accident, so this is going to be a quick and dirty, well, not really dirty, but a short episode, hopefully. Actually, I'm not going to talk comics at all today. There's going to be a lot of movie news and a Turkey of the Week, and obviously the Freak Five, so let's get to it.
Freak Movies.
I think the big champion this week at the box office will obviously be Jackass Number 2, mainly because I don't really have a lot of competition right now. It is what I referred to last week as the graveyard of movie releases in September. Nobody really goes to the movies. They usually put the movies that they're not as confident in the schedule for this time of the year, because not a lot of people are going to the movies. So I think Jackass Number 2 is going to do a lot of business this weekend. I haven't seen the first Jackass. I've seen some of the stuff that they did on their television show, and some of it was funny, some of it was, you know, overtly offensive, but I won't be going to see this movie, but I know a lot of other people will. Also coming out this week is Jet Li's Fearless, and I have an interesting story about that. I was walking at the mall back in, I think, late June, early July, and there was a young lady with a clipboard that approached me, and she said, "Well, would you like to watch a movie preview?" And I thought she said, "Would you like to get some movie preview tickets?" And due to my lack of misunderstanding, I ended up sitting for a half hour first watching the promo for Jet Li's Fearless and then answering a ton of questions regarding the movie. I'm not going to go to the theater to see it. I don't think it's worth the $7 it costs to go to the theater to see it. However, it does look very exciting, like a very good martial arts movie. It's the kind of thing that really appeals to the macho side of me. And Jet Li is just amazing. They don't even have to speed up the film. He's so fast. So I think it's going to be a great movie, at least for guys to go see. I don't know if many ladies are going to appreciate it. And I would definitely not take my children. But it looks like a good flick. But also, Sean Penn's latest movie, All the King's Men, will be opening. But it'll probably be the only movie that generates any Oscar buzz coming out this weekend. I don't believe that Jackass Number 2 or anybody in that movie, or Jet Li for that matter, will be nominated for any Oscars. But Sean Penn, who seems to be a beloved member of the Hollywood community, is in this new movie. It's a political movie about, who is it? I remember who it's about, but it's typical period piece with political overtones. Doesn't look like it's going to do a lot of good money. And Sean Penn sort of become the guy who nobody can relate to, and middle America won't relate to. I don't think he's just not the kind of guy people want to go see in the movies anymore, I don't think. He plays Louisiana Governor Willie Stark, winning his office by appealing to the common man and playing a little bit of dirty politics, showing basically how he becomes corrupted. Critics aren't really looking into this that much. Most of the grades that I've seen on movies.com are quite low, so it's surprising that a guy like Sean Penn is in a movie that's rated that low. I'll never stop thinking of him as the surfer dude in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, but that's just me. So, that's what's opening this week. But there's a lot of other movie news that has nothing to do with movies that are opening, but it's upcoming movies. First off, the summer blockbuster Pirates of the Caribbean 2, a movie that everybody continues to remind me that I did not see, because I haven't seen the first one, but Pirates of the Caribbean 2, apparently, it might not end with a trilogy. The third movie comes out, obviously, next summer, and Disney just sees that it's a good moneymaker, so they have revealed that even though the third Pirates film will conclude the trilogy, it's unlikely that it will be the last sequel of the mega-hit movie. You know, I can't blame them for trying to get as much milk out of the cash cow as they can, and I think that Pirates movies will do well until people get sick of them, or until Johnny Depp gets sick of playing Captain Jack Sparrow. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy who likes to play the same character over and over again, but so far he's seen a lot of mainstream success with this, which is not something he's used to, considering most of his movies of the last decade or so have been really, really kind of art films. You know, when you see Ed Wood or Edward Scissorhands, pretty much anything he's done with Tim Burton or Jim Jarmusch have really been movies that he doesn't, they're not mainstream successes. And this is huge for Johnny Depp, so I think that maybe he'll just stick around as much as he needs to. And I think Disney will do what they can to make as much money as they can out of this franchise. So Pirates of the Caribbean might not end up being a trilogy, it might end up being a long list of successful movies. Also in the news, there's been a first look at the Iron Man costume. They've made a few designs for the costume, and the designs look great. Jon Favreau is really, really doing a good job in allowing the fans into the filmmaking process. It's something I think that filmmakers need to do in order to be successful in this age of the internet and information being leaked anyway. A lot of the costumes designs have been rejected, but not because they don't fit the vision of the film. They actually look a little complicated, but they really want to maintain a respect for the source material, something that a guy like Michael Bay could learn a lot from. But Michael Bay is decidedly old school, while Jon Favreau is new school, and the Iron Man designs look really, really good. They look like the character from the comic, and it doesn't look like they're going to take too many liberties with the source material. On the Batman film front, there's been a signing for who's going to play Harvey Dent. There was talk that Ryan Phillippe was going to be playing Harvey Dent, but now it seems that Guy Pearce, who is most famous for the movie Memento with Christopher Nolan, who also directed Batman Begins and is directing The Dark Knight, Guy Pearce has signed up to play Harvey Dent, and it's a good idea to start setting up for future films. I don't believe that Two-Face will be in this film, but maybe they will do some good setup for Harvey Dent and the split personality. What I think would be really neat is if they looked at the Tim Sale and Jeff Loeb story, The Long Halloween, or even Dark Victory. Those are two really good Batman stories that focus on Harvey Dent a little bit, and they show the split personality before he even becomes Two-Face. So maybe he's going to look at that source material, because that would be great, and I'm really confident that Christopher Nolan is going to do a great job with The Dark Knight, as he did with Batman Begins. In other movie news, there's a lot of movie news today. Steven Spielberg has said no, he's not going to direct Jurassic Park 4. I'm not even excited about seeing a Jurassic Park 4. I probably will avoid it myself. And it just means that Joe Johnston might be doing it. He's a director who has been offered a job helming the third Mummy movie. So, I don't know, fourth Jurassic Park movie, I think they're pushing it. I think what they accomplished in the first movie and the second movie was good enough. The third movie was a reasonable addition, but a fourth one is just overkill, I think. I think they should leave the Jurassic Park in the past, so maybe they won't even bother with it. But Spielberg is not going to direct it. He has confirmed through his website that he's not going to be a part of it. So we'll see what happens in the coming weeks. Also, Frank Miller's 300, a film based on his graphic novel regarding the Spartans, and the trailer has been released to the internet, and it looks unbelievable. The acting looks superb. The set design is just amazing. And the costuming, everything just looks really, really good. I might even make this out for opening weekend. It looks like the kind of movie that's really just exciting and heavy-duty, a good macho movie, you know, along the lines of Braveheart and things like that. So 300 looks really good. It looks like a great story about the fall of the Spartans and the rise of the Persian Empire. It's a very, I don't know how historically accurate it is, having not read the comic book itself. I've tried to find it on my library website, but they don't have it. But I'm not sure how historically accurate it is, but it looks exciting. It looks like the kind of movie that a group of guys can go see and just enjoy, just watching all the you know, blood and gore and the fighting and everything like that. We love our violence, don't we? So yeah, the 300 trailer looks really unbelievable, and I'm excited to see it myself. Main news story I wanted to get to in movies is about an announcement by Fox Entertainment. If you don't know who Fox is, Fox is owned by Rupert Murdoch, and Fox is also the company that is responsible for bringing The Simpsons and Married with Children and, you know, Temptation Island, things like that to the small screen. But apparently they've decided to unveil plans to capture the gargantuan Christian audience that made The Passion of the Christ a global phenomenon. The home entertainment division of Rupert Murdoch's movie studio plans to produce as many as a dozen films a year under their banner called Fox Faith. At least six of those films were released in theaters under an agreement with two of the nation's largest chains, AMC Theaters and Carmike Cinemas. A segment of the market is starting for this type of content, said Simon Swart, general manager of Fox's U.S. Home Entertainment Unit. Now, it's a guy who has worked to become a part of the Christian entertainment community. I look at this as cautiously optimistic. With the main film producers on Christendom being Cloud 10, who are behind the Left Behind movies, and several other really, really bad Christian films. Bad from a technical standpoint and a story standpoint. I'd be interested to see how Fox does it, but I would like to know who exactly is going to be involved in this particular venture. Will they be hiring believers to write? Will they be relying on secular interpretations of Scripture? Apparently the first film under the Fox Faith banner will be released on October 6th and is going to be called Love's Abiding Joy, and is based on a Jeanette Oakey novel. Or is it Oak? I don't know. So really they're going for the Christian romance. I don't know. Is this really? I'm cautiously optimistic. I think if they stick to the source material, like Jeanette Oakey is popular among Christian teenage girls and some, you know, young adult women. So maybe they're just trying to make a movie that would reach out to that market. The Christian market is out there, and obviously, we showed up for Passion of the Christ. We also showed up for Chronicles of Narnia. And we sort of took the Lord of the Rings under our own banner as well, but that's not just because we were Christians. A lot of Lord of the Rings sales were obviously attuned to people, or attributed to people that weren't believers either. So, I think it's a smart move. And I think it gives us a chance to really, really get our foot in the door to show that art and faith can intersect and can be release quality. We're not all left behind movies. We're not like that. We're not going to do 15 movies on the Book of Revelation, but we can tell stories that have a point behind them, and I think that's exciting. And I hope that the right people get involved with Fox Faith and it doesn't get too watered down. But we'll see where it goes from here. I'm cautiously optimistic, like I say. Last week, the big movie news was iTunes deciding to sell full-length features by Disney, and apparently is doing well. They've sold over 125,000 movie downloads in the first week. And Disney CEO Robert Iger said this is just the beginning. Wall Street analysts at a conference Tuesday, he told this to, they predicted $50 million in revenue from the sale of movies through iTunes during the first year of this new partnership. And when it comes to iTunes and selling movies, I have a DSL connection. I don't have a cable modem. And I know that downloading movies would take a long time. So I don't know if this is going to be just a plateau at this point, or whether it's going to keep increasing. If cable modems and Roadrunner, things of that nature, if they lower prices and make it more accessible to everybody, I think this could be a huge hit. But if DSL and high-speed internet or broadband ends up staying the same or even increasing in price, I think it's going to just cause a larger divide among people that would possibly be downloading movies from iTunes. And, well, it's just, you know, we'll see. Plus, I mean, I can't watch a movie on an iPod. I don't own one. But the iPod's become the major thing. And if my concern would be, how many burns can you make of it? Can you burn it to a DVD to watch at home on your television in your home theater instead of watching it on an iPod? What's the copyrights involved? And, but, I mean, obviously it's been successful in this first week. 125,000 movie downloads is a big deal. So, let's sit back and see what happens. And finally, that's all of the movie news that I have for this week. Coming up next will be the Turkey of the Week.
Now it's time for the Freak Accident Turkey of the Week.
When I was a kid, I grew up in a very small town. And in fact, I didn't have cable, which is odd to probably a few of my listeners who probably grew up with cable or are too young to remember the days of having to play around with rabbit ears and tune in channels. And it's for some reason over the summer, our reception got better. I think maybe something blew over the lake that was nearby or something, because I was able to pick up stations from the town I live in now, in Rochester, which is 3 hours away from where I grew up. And I was able to catch all these cool cartoons that were really based on toys, but I wasn't really concerned with that. But these really cool cartoons like He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, or Brave Star, or there's a few others, but the one I remember vaguely, I remember some of it, was the Thundercats. And this week's turkey is something that is just, I guess, the latest in a series of childhood disappointments or shattered dreams from Hollywood concerning childhood favorites, because the Cartoon Network is planning on bringing back the Thundercats, which would be exciting if it was the Thundercats we grew up with. Apparently the new Thundercats are basically the Thundercats in name. And really what it is the animation is a lot like anime, sort of along the lines of Teen Titans. It's Oh, wait, it's not on... I'm sorry, I apologize. It's not Cartoon Network, it's WB. And the setting, instead of being Earth 3, where Thundercats takes place, it's actually on modern-day Earth in a major city like L.A., Chicago, or New York City, something like that. The leader of the whole pack is Snarf. And if I remember correctly, Snarf was a little almost cat slash dog slash weird little pet at the Thundercats home base, but he's now the leader, who is a mystic, so he's sort of a Master Splinter to the Thundercats, who just so happened to all be teenagers, which is nothing like the show itself or the original. I think the youngest person on the Thundercats was Lion-O, and you had the Panther, I can't remember his name, but he was sort of the old wise warrior. So they're changing the ages of the characters, and Snarf, who is a bumbling fool, is now their leader, and it gets better or worse. Each of them, the Thundercats, has a weapon with an Eye of Thundera and transformative powers. Now, if you remember the original series, Lion-O was the only one with a weapon with the Eye of Thundera because he was kind of chosen. Which is, you know, if you wanted to get into a tangent, you could discuss the fact that everybody is equal and, you know, we can't give trophies just to the winners, everybody's got the same thing. And Mumra will also have wings, which, you know, that's not that big of a deal. But here's what makes the Turkey of the Week. When the Thundercats aren't fighting evil, they play together as a rock band. Yeah, so it's sort of a pumped-up testosterone version of Josie and the Pussycats, where they fight evil by day and rock out by night. The childhood rape continues.
This has been the Freak Accident Turkey of the Week. Stay tuned next time and we'll tell you what projects you should probably not let gobble up your money.
Freak DVD.
Well, it looks like they've set a date. November 28th. The second Superman Day in 2006. Apparently there will be a release of the DVD Superman Returns on that date, and they'll be releasing it in two different editions. You can buy the single disc or the double disc edition. Each will carry a widescreen transfer along with an English Dolby Digital 5.1 track. The single disc edition apparently doesn't have any features that are extras, while the double disc edition will include deleted scenes and a 3-hour documentary titled Requiem for Krypton, Making Superman Returns, which seems to take you behind the scenes onto the set of the movie. And other news says that they're considering doing an expanded edition or extended edition, sort of like Lord of the Rings, I hope, where they include a lot of the deleted scenes like Superman piloting a Kryptonian spaceship, other scenes involving Marlon Brando and Kal-El's mother, obviously created digitally. So I'm not sure what the plan is. Maybe they're going to do like what Peter Jackson did and release an extended edition. My concern with that is the movie itself seemed quite long, particularly the last half hour. They should have tightened that up about 10 more minutes so it wasn't over 2 hours long. And to see it extended could be a lot more boring. Now, maybe if they added the extra scenes and shortened the scenes that seemed a little long, that could work. We'll see. They don't really say whether it's going to be edited into the film. Like, with the extended editions of the Lord of the Rings films were actually re-edited movies. They weren't the same movie that you saw in the theater, which was really nice because it flowed properly. So I don't know what the plan is with this, but I don't even know if I want the movie on DVD, to be honest with you. I didn't like it enough to really want to invest the money in it. So I don't know. But if you're into it, November the 28th, is when the original version comes out. I don't know when the extended one comes out, so I'll keep you posted. So that's all the DVD news I have for you this week.
Freak 5. Freak.
Last week's Freak 5 topic was a hard one for some people, especially if they're not into watching television as much as I am. But I asked the question, what television show are you looking forward to the most this season? What new television show in particular? I got a few responses, and I threw them together, added a few of my own, and here are my comments. Number 5 is a show that premiered yesterday, Wednesday, or, you know, Wednesday the 20th of September, called Jericho. This show stars Skeet Ulrich, who I'll always remember as the villain in Scream, the original Scream, as a boy who returns to his hometown only to be stuck there because nuclear war breaks out. It seemed like, when I was watching it, like it was trying too hard to parallel Lost, in that you have a bunch of different characters thrown into one situation and forced to survive. Even the opening sequence with the static title fading into the opening scene was very reminiscent of Lost. And I'm hoping that I can diverge from that homage to probably the best show on television and become its own animal. I enjoyed the first episode. I'm intrigued enough to watch a little bit more. We'll see if it's able to last the first season and get into a sophomore season next year. The problem with serialized television is people are always wanting for an ending, and and when a show is successful, they don't want it to end either. So the balance needs to be found there. Lost seems to have found their balance, and let's hope Jericho does too, because it looks like an intriguing show. Number 4 is 6 Degrees. That's another one I came up with, and that's because it's created by J.J. Abrams, the guy behind Lost and behind Alias. And I believe it premiered tonight, but I didn't watch, so I wasn't looking forward to it that much. But I like the idea of throwing characters together and seeing where they fit, you know. And 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon was always a fun game, so anytime you have 6 Degrees involved in something, I'm intrigued. Number 3 is VeggieTales on TV. And I'm excited about this too, because I have a 4-year-old son, and I've been lamenting the loss of good Saturday morning cartoons for a few years now. ABC had a good thing going with Disney's One Saturday Morning, and they seem to have faded that out. A lot of the Saturday morning cartoons have gone the wayside. Fox has a lot of anime, but there's nothing really for younger kids, and so NBC worked a deal with Nelvana and came up with Kubo, Q-U-B-O, and what Kubo has several different shows, including VeggieTales and 321 Penguins. So Big Idea is getting involved in this, and this is exciting. Now they are showing what I've seen the last 2 weeks have been episodes that are already available on DVD, but it's great to see VeggieTales getting larger exposure. And because they're telling quality stories, I believe, and they're stories that can be applicable to anything. They don't have to hammer you over the head with the gospel, but they're good stories, and their animation has gotten so much better in the last 4 or 5 years, and that's because they were bought out by a bigger company, and I really, really like what they're doing. So it's exciting to see them on TV on Saturday mornings, and even Friday afternoons. So number 2 for me is Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. And that's only because I've been a fan of SNL for a few years, and it's nice to see a show that kind of goes behind the scenes and peels back the layers of a show of that nature. Plus, it's Matthew Perry's return to television, and hey, Chandler was awesome, wasn't he? And number 1 for me and for Josh Alves was Heroes. I have the pilot, and I've watched it once, and I really enjoyed it, and I'm going to be hard-pressed to decide whether I'm going to tape Heroes and watch 24 come January. It looks like a good show. They're setting up for a lot of neat storylines, and apparently it's going to be some supervillains as well as superheroes. And Josh begged me to ask if anybody has a link or a spare code for him to download the pilot episode to let me know, and we'll come up with something you know, to get you. Maybe he'll do an original drawing for you or something. And he didn't mention that. I'm just kind of backing him into a corner. But anyways, so Heroes, that actually starts this Monday. So if you haven't seen the pilot yet, you'll be able to see it with limited commercial interruption on Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that's exciting. Heroes is a good show. That's this week's Freak 5. Next week's Freak 5 will be what comic book piece of attire would you not be caught wearing or not like to be caught wearing? What piece of comic book superhero attire would you not like to be caught wearing? Send your responses to the Freak 5 to FreakX, that's FreakAx at gmail.com, that's FreakX at gmail.com, or feel free to give me a call at the FreakX listener line, that's 206-203-2938, that's 206-203-2938. Keep it clean, keep it clear, yet keep it freaky.
Check, please!
Whew, yeah. Does anybody else think that I sounded a little subdued this week? I think I did. But it's probably because I think I'm getting sick on top of the sprained ankle. So I apologize if I might have lulled you to sleep with my quiet voice. I'm going to try to lull myself to sleep in a few minutes after I get this thing thrown together. But anyway, I apologize if I was subdued. As always, the Freak Accident was brought to you by nobody yet. If you are a business or a comic producer who would like to sponsor the Freak Accident financially or by sending me preview comics, please send me an email at freakax, that's FreakAx at gmail.com. If you're a fan and would like to give your 2 cents because you disagree with me because I'm insane, feel free to give me a call at the Freak Accident listener line at 206-203-2938. That's 206-203-2938. Keep it clean, keep it clear, and keep it freaky. Special thanks also go out to my producer, Joey Diamonds, who does all the compilation of links and topics for me to talk about. He's the man, so thanks, Joey. And that's it. Thanks for listening to the Freak Accident Podcast. We'll be back next week with an episode, God willing. And take care, keep it clean, keep it clear, and keep it freaky.
Freak. Accident. Accident.